Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
God's message to us this morning is a question. Who is ready for supernatural help? Who is ready for supernatural help? If you were at the afternoon encounter last Tuesday, I was given the opportunity to lead the prayers, and what we are looking at today was actually what we used to pray on Tuesday last week at the daily afternoon encounter. And after then, when I got to know that I would be preaching, the Holy Spirit ministered to me that same passage that we used to pray, that he has a message for his people today. And I believe and I hope that we'll be blessed as we listen to the message in Jesus' name. Who is ready for supernatural help? That presupposes that it's not everybody that is ready for supernatural help. It's not everybody that is ready to be moved to the next level. You wonder why Jesus Christ will ask some people, do you want to be made whole? Because some people, they prefer the present situation that they are. And so they may not need help. Somebody can be a beggar and say, I prefer begging and people will be giving me money as they go every day, than for me to be made whole and then there will be no free money every day again. So it's not everybody that is ready for supernatural help. But I hope you are ready for supernatural help. Amongst many things that God has called our attention to, last Sunday's message confronted us with the truth that the man whom God will use must guard his walls and gates with passion and purpose, and also build enduring consecrations. The journey to supernatural help is neither accidental nor coincidental. We cannot afford to be passive and elusive about our spiritual deterioration and of those around us, and expect God to rise in our defense. Nehemiah took responsibility by acknowledging his sin and that of his people, and was decisive in rebuilding the broken walls and the burnt gates. The Lord surely provided supernatural help in achieving this mission. And I believe that God Almighty will also provide supernatural help for us to achieve his mission for our lives this year and even beyond in Jesus' name. There is no doubt that the Lord is consistently willing to rescue his people from their helpless estate, gather them from their despondent locations, and bring them to himself. There's no doubt about that. So three things we are believing God to do or to achieve in this service. Number one, for God to rescue us, for God to gather pieces of our lives together, and for God to bring us to himself and to bring us to his purpose. If that is your desire, can I hear you say amen? Amen. That God Almighty this morning will rescue you. Amen. That God Almighty will gather you from wherever you are right now. That God Almighty will bring you to himself and to fulfill purpose in Jesus' name. However, certain conditions must be met to experience supernatural help, about which the scriptures have never left us in doubt. For every promise of God, man has a crucial part to play. Consider this. The Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you will do what? You will eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. What is the promise? To eat the good of the land. What is the condition? Willingness. We must be willing and obedient. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and do what? We heal their land. May the Lord heal our land in Jesus' name. You know, According to this passage, we want the Lord to hear us from heaven. We want God to forgive our sins. And we want God to heal our land. But what is the condition? Humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek God's face and do what? Turn from our wicked ways. We can't afford to continue the same way we are going and we expect God to join us. You know, if you have done experiencing God, we must turn from our wicked way. Not the same thing. If God is going to fulfill that promise. The Bible says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and do what? Follow me. If you desire to follow Jesus, what are the conditions? Denial of self, taking up your cross, and then what? If that's your desire, that condition or the conditions must be met. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What are the things the Bible is talking about here? If you read the previous verse or two verses before then, talking about people running after what they will eat, what they will drink, and what they will put on. And Jesus said, don't worry about these things. These are the things that unbelievers are seeking, looking after, running after. But what should be your focus? Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things shall be added. But we have Christians coming to church today. They are coming to pray, lift up their voices and say, God, give me food, give me this, give me that, give me prosperity, give me blessings. But we're not ready to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness for other things to be added unto us. So for all these things, God will always have conditions for us to meet or to fulfill before his promise will come into our lives. And the same way this year too, God says this is a year of supernatural help. But there are certain things that God will require from us to do if we are going to experience supernatural help in every area of our lives. May the Lord help us to do so in Jesus' name. Supernatural help is not based on wishful thinking or just positive confession. God's terms and conditions apply. What is Nehemiah's perspective about what has happened to him? We have read it again and again. We have been reading this in the beginning of this year. But I want us to look at it critically again this morning. What is his perspective about what has befallen him and his people? Particularly looking at verses 7 to 8. Let's read verse 7 to 8, verses 7 and 8. Nehemiah said, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Verse 8 says, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will do what? I will scatter you among the nations. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you. Nehemiah did not view the colossal loss that his people suffered, which climaxed with the broken wall and burnt gates, as happening due to the military might of their surrounding enemies. He did not involve himself in blame game. So because, all our enemies around us, they overpowered us. All the military, we didn't have their might. That's why they were able to conquer us. He did not involve himself in saying, okay, it's not because of this, because of maybe the witches and the wizard. They are the ones that came and invaded us and brought down the gates. He did not accuse all his enemies and begin to fight them, just as Christians would do today. That if something happened to us, the first thing most of us would do is say, somebody from my village is fighting me. This person didn't do this for me. That's why I'm in this situation. This person didn't do this or didn't write this for me. That's why I was not given this contract. No. Nehemiah looked inward and said, there must be a problem. And he identified the problem. What's the problem? He said what? Sin. But rather, as God's judgment. That's what how Nehemiah saw it. He saw it as God's judgment on the Jews for their what? Sinfulness. So it was a spiritual problem. It was a sin problem. But Nehemiah confronted the reality. I would like for us to look at that verse 7. How it's explained in some other translation. You know, the translation that we have read, New King James Version, says, We have acted how? Is it corruptly? We have acted corruptly. We have acted how? Very corruptly. And when I read this again, I said, wow, see, corruption has been for a long time. When we talk about corruption today, you talk about those who are, our governors, they are corrupt. Our president is corrupt. Oh, people in the Senate, they are corrupt. There's a lot of spiritual corruption. That if there were to be anything called spiritual EFCC, many people would have been arrested today. Many people would have been detained today. Nehemiah said, we have acted very corruptly. Very corruptly. And I like to tell the people of God, there is serious corruption in the church of God. There is serious corruption in people that say they go to church. Can we look at how NIV put it? NIV, give us NIV. Say, we have acted how? Very wickedly. That this thing that we have done is a wickedness. It is wickedness. We have acted very wickedly. Can we have New Living Translation? Say, we have sinned. How? Terribly. Not ordinary sin. I wish people of God, Christians, will commit sin and they say, this sin I've done is very corrupt. It's so wicked. It is terrible. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands. Can we hear message? We have treated you like, you know what a debt is? What is this? I'm not in any political party. I have not joined any political party. We have treated you like debt. We haven't done what you told us. How do you treat debt? What do you do to debt? You know, this is the traditional one. The really gale broom. This is the modern one. What do they do? You sweep it off. That's how we have treated God. God tells us some things. What do you say about God? I don't want you. God says, forgive your brother that has sinned against you. What do you do? You sweep God out. God says, love your wife. What do you tell God? She's very stubborn. God said, submit to your husband. What do you say? He's a fool. How do I submit to a fool? We acted corruptly. We sweep God. We treat him like debt. He said, we have treated you like debt. We haven't done what you told us. What God tells you to do something, but you say, no, I'm going to do my own. What do you do? You sweep. People of God, that's how I've treated God. God bless you, my sister. The Lord will sweep every debt away from your life in the name of Jesus. We have acted corruptly. We've treated you like debts. That you are nothing. We don't need you. Get out of my life. Get out of my way. Have we heard some Christian when they say, okay, this thing you have done is serious. Don't talk about God now. What is that? They sweep God out. This thing is very terrible. They say, don't put Jesus in this one. What is that? Sweep God like death. Sweep him off. I hope we are not sweeping God out of our lives. One of the greatest challenges of Christianity today is that we have modernized sin and we have rebranded it. We no longer call sin the way the Bible calls it again. we coin some other word to make it mild, to make it soft, that it doesn't really carry the weight before us. If you are in one of the Bible studies that I led last year, you know we dealt with this, 2017. And we mentioned some of those things. But let me mention number three for us. What do we call bribery today? Somebody that wants to give bribe, but want to take bribe, what do you say? Brown envelope or tipping? Or PR? Somebody said cola. So many things. Said, when you are coming, if you are coming for that contract, bring brown envelope. Oh. You know, I would have standing. You say, if you are coming for that contract, make sure you bring bribe. Oh. Will it carry away that way? Will some person be able to say that? Say, bring bribe. You know what we call lie today? Somebody lied and he was confronted and he said, no, I didn't lie. I was just exaggerating. I just exaggerated. Lie. What do we call fornication and adultery today? Fun. Can we go and have fun? Can we have some fun? February 14 is coming soon. Valentine's Day. You see boys and girls say, let's go and have fun. You know how to sound, you say, let's go and commit fornication. Will somebody be able to say that? Can married men be able to say to somebody, can we go and commit adultery? What do they say? Let's go and have fun. We make it mild. We make it as if it's not that serious. It's not that serious. And the devil is helping us, and it has entered the church. That's how people see it in the world. We don't call sin. We don't confront the reality that we have acted corruptly. That we have, what we have done is terrible. That we have acted wickedly. But you look for a name to cover it so that it's not that serious. And you see Christians today, they'll tell you that, what is so big about it? So big. A particular church, somebody was disciplined. And the person accepted the reality and said, I'm very sorry, I've sinned. I'm talking about something I knew, life. I was there. I have sinned. Please forgive me. And that was the end of the meeting. The person left. You know, some members came and gathered around her after that and said, what is the big deal about what you have done? Members of the same church. It's not that serious. And the same person came back and it started causing problems. The person that has already admitted has sinned. That's what happens in the church of God today. We don't confront sin. We don't see that it is terrible. Nehemiah said, we have acted corruptly. And he included himself. What we have done is so terrible. What we have done is so wicked. Someone that is involved in fraud today, we call it 419. You know, 419 doesn't carry any serious weight. Somebody say, fraud is fraud. Fornication is fornication. Adultery is adultery. Lying is what? It's lying. May the Lord God Almighty help us in Jesus' name. Nehemiah in his prayer recalled what God promised Moses in Deuteronomy 10:31-5. But this prayer, as reiterated by Nehemiah, reveals why God's chosen people found themselves in exile. The people of God were guilty of the sin of what? Unfaithfulness. They are guilty of the sin of unfaithfulness. In that verse 8, say, if you are unfaithful, that's what the servant of God said and what God told his servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. The people of God were guilty of the sin of unfaithfulness. And unfaithfulness, according to a dictionary meaning, is not being true to a promise or vow that we have made. Not being true to a promise or vow. This is confirmed in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. Give us 1 Chronicles 9, 1. So Israel was recorded by genealogists. And indeed, they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was carried away captive to Babylon. Because of what? Because of their unfaithfulness. They were whisked away. They were kidnapped. Maybe that's why the idea of kidnapping started from. They were bundled away. Why? Because of the sin of unfaithfulness. People of God, the sin of unfaithfulness is still prevalent in the church today. Many are unfaithful to God. And can I let you know that anyone who is unfaithful to God is capable of any form of evil? Unfaithfulness to God manifests in various ways. Some of them are unfaithfulness to his word. Unfaithfulness to his word. Unfaithfulness to God's word. 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness. Why did Saul die? His unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord. Because he did not keep the word of the Lord. And also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Saul died because he did not keep to God's word. He did not keep to God's instruction. He did not keep to what God told him to do. If you remember the story, God told him to go to the Amalekites and destroy everything, wipe them off. What did he do? The best, the choicest animal, he kept them. And he even left the king, King Agag. And he came back. And God told him to obey is better than sacrifice. He did not keep to God's word. But you know, we can talk about Saul today. In what way have you disobeyed God's word? I said the other time, God said, love your wife. He said, God, that's your own. This one is too stubborn to be loved. Submit to your husband. No. How can you submit to a fool? God said, don't lie. He said, no. I will not be able to get that contract. Don't commit fornication or adultery. No. How will I get admission? How will I get that job? We disobey God. Unfaithfulness in giving. Unfaithfulness in giving. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. We are unfaithful to God in our giving. Malachi 3, 8 to 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In what? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed. With what? With a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, whatever. You know the story. But most of us today, we are unfaithful to God in giving. You know, most times we have many spiritual robbers. Robbers in the church of God. People, God said, bring all the tithes. But say, God, that's your own. In fact, some people say, tithes is of the Old Testament. The same people that said tithes of the Old Testament, but they claim Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. That you'll be blessed in this, you'll be blessed in that, you'll be blessed in that. But they don't remember that that blessing is also of the Old Testament. You know, what Saul did was what I call partial obedience, or what I call selective obedience. And Christians do that today. They choose what will go with them, what will be convenient for them. Though they select the one they want to do. So when you come to God and say, no, this is about tithe. No. May I let you know that God is not going to depend on your tithe for this church to move forward. Because whether you give your tithe or not, the church of God will move forward. But you are undoing yourself if you are unfaithful to the Lord in giving. You don't give your offering, you don't give your tithe. You are unfaithful to God. And look at that, what God says. I pray that none of us will be cursed. Or anyone that has been cursed, as we respond to the word of the Lord, will be uncursed in Jesus' name. We will be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Unfaithfulness in our stewardship. Unfaithfulness in our stewardship. Proverbs 11:6. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. But the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Because of lust today, most Christians are unfaithful in their stewardship. In their stewardship of influence. When they have opportunity to be given some amount of money, they are unfaithful to God. I mean, I let you know, even in the church of God today, people are unfaithful in their stewardship. I heard about a church some years ago whereby people scrambled to be in some juicy committee. That's what they call it. Juicy committee. Do you know that they talk about that? When we hear that, hear about it in the House of Representatives, so that there are some people that love to be in juicy committee. But you know, it's also happened in the Church of God. Juicy committee. What makes a committee juicy? What makes it juicy? what they were able to get from it and put in their pocket. And some of them don't even give tithe, but those who give tithe, they will pick their money. They will pocket it. You are in a committee, they ask you, you are going to do this. You make requisition, you want to do this project, you want to do it on behalf of your committee. But you take part of the money and you put it in your pocket. You say, ah, church, is it not church? There is plenty of money in the church. People want to work for the church. They want to provide their services to the church because they know that they can give church any bill. Say, but you know, let me let you know that you are bringing curse upon yourself. So no matter how we carry this idea of supernatural help, if you have not dealt with that unfaithfulness, God will not be happy with you. Unfaithfulness to our vows. Unfaithfulness to our vows. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 to 5. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in what? In fools. Pay what you have vowed. Verse 5. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Some people have made a vow. Oh, I'm going to do this. Nobody forced you to do it. You must pay your vow. Tell your neighbor you must pay your vow. It's better for you not to make that vow again. Many people are unfaithful to their marital vow. It's better for you not to take that, or not to have taken that lady to the altar, than for you to have taken that and then you are not obeying that vow again. Remember last Wednesday, Bible study, pastor was teaching us there and he did like this. Let no one put asunder. You have made a vow, but you are not faithful to that vow. God says, you must repent today. Unfaithful to the Great Commission. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19. Says, and Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all authority, verse 19. Give us 19, please. 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting God that this year, God Almighty will help us as a church. That we will not be unfaithful to God in this aspect in Jesus' name. That IBC, Ikoyi Baptist Church this year, will be faithful to this mission in the year 2018 in Jesus' name. A lot for us to do. Let us be faithful to God. Because of this sin of unfaithfulness, the Lord scattered them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. Let's look at Ezekiel 39:23. God scattered them. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. God hid. Do you know what it means for God to hide his face from you? That doesn't mean the prayer you pray. God says, I'm not hearing. Because I'm not even looking at you because of unfaithfulness that we are talking about. Do you know what it means for God to hand you over to your enemy? Jesus. Because, you know, if your enemy is attacking you, who do you run to? You run to God. God, they have come, oh, save me. But whatever, if God is attacking you, it's the same God you have to go back to. Somebody said, I'd rather die. I'd rather run to God where there is mercy than for me to be handed over to my enemy. May the Lord not hand us over to our enemies. No, the enemies that are already waiting for you. Waiting for something wrong, something bad to happen to you, and they begin to celebrate. Now God now said, I want to hand you over to them. It is so terrible. It's a very devastating experience to be scattered by God. Because when God scatters an individual or a people, they remain shattered and battered. No one else under the sun can gather them. The only remedy for sinful lifestyle is what? Genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. That's the only remedy. Genuine repentance. And I hope this morning that God Almighty will help us to repent. Proverbs 28 verse 13. He who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them, we have what? We have mercy. He who covers his sin. You already sin, but you say, I don't want people to know. You cover it. You know how people cover? When somebody tells lies, how do you cover the lie? You lie again. You cover. We are going to see later on that there's nothing that anybody can cover forever because it will manifest. Can we give us that same in Message Bible? Message translation. Message. But if you don't do what you say, you'll be sinning against God. You can be sure that your sin will do what? Will track you down. Your sin will track you down. When I read this in Message translation, I remember something that happened in our former church some years ago. One of our members just bought, it was this time that this tracking device was just getting popular in Nigeria. You know, when you can track your car now, you can track anything. So this member just brought a brand new car, and we celebrated, and we prayed, we dedicated the car. In about 1 week, she was attacked by armed robbers, and they forced her out of the car, and they collected the key, and they drove off. So she ran and came to me. Fortunately, we were staying very close. We were neighbors. And she came to me, Pastor, please pray. I'm robber. She was just, they've collected my car. I said, calm down. Can we pray? Thank God they didn't take your life. They took the car. By the grace of God, the car will be recovered. But even if the car is not recovered, God will give you another car. Just calm down first. And she was, because she had never had that experience, and we prayed. After prayer, I said, but there's a tracking device on this car. I say, yes, there's it. Okay, can we go? Can we contact the man that, the manager of that particular company that did the device? And I said, no, we tried to call the person on the phone, we couldn't reach him. So I took her in my car, and then we went there. That was around, she came back home around 10 in the night. And we went to the person's house. You know, immediately we enter, you know what the person said? The person just laughed. So why are you worried? Is it not about 1 hour or 2 hours ago that they took the cars? We will find it. And he opened his system. And he said, the car is so place. The car is in this place, this location. So relax. So we left. He said, don't worry, we'll get it. He said, you know, he said something. He said, I will stop it. And he did it. He stopped it. He said, I've stopped it. Me too, I was looking at him. How did you stop it? He said, no, I've stopped it. So the following morning, got early in the morning, said, don't worry, we'll go and bring your car. So they get police and they went. The car was almost, they were already driving outskirts the town when the car was stopped. And they saw the car in front of one hotel. No, the people stole the car. They said, let's enjoy ourselves first before we go on and drive out. So I suppose after they finished enjoying themselves, they came out, they entered the car. The car didn't start. So they abandoned it and left. And that's how the car was recovered and brought back home. You know the spiritual lesson God taught me there? That's how Satan tracks his own. If you are unfaithful to God, if you sin against God, Satan will track you. You may think that, I've done this one, I'm enjoying, nobody knows. But when his time comes, he will stop you. Because he has a device in his hand. He will just press one button. And you won't be able to do anything again. Don't let Satan stop you. You have to stop Satan. Don't let Satan track you. You have to be the one to stop Satan. If you don't deal with your sin will deal with you. Numbers 32, verse 23. Numbers 32, verse 23 says, your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. Your sin will track you down. How somebody will come this morning and say, Lord, I don't want my sin to track me down. God, is enough of unfaithfulness. I want to fully return to you. What are the conditions for supernatural help? Nehemiah 1:9 makes us to understand Nehemiah 1 verse 9. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were scattered or cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will do what? I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. But if our conditional words, two conditional words that show there is still hope, and there is still hope for somebody here this morning. After we have dealt with the sin issue, God expects us to take certain steps to show our readiness for supernatural help. We must, one, return to the Lord. God is calling us to return to Him. Return to daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He is calling us to return to commitment, to service. God is calling us to return to ministry. Christianity is not I used to be. Christianity is should not be I used to be. I used to be committed. I used to serve in the ministry. I used to serve God with my own strength. Christianity is not a past tense. Christianity is a present continuous tense. Because God will not judge you by your past. God will judge you by what you are doing right now and what you are going to do in the future. Number two, keep His commandments. 1 John 5:3 makes us to know that even God's commandment is not burdensome. When we are able to return to the Lord and we submit to Him, His commandments, they are not burdensome. God is calling us to give careful attention to His instruction. Number three, do them. God is calling us to act on His word. This goes beyond an occasional duty. It calls for a lifestyle of living by the standard of God's word. The summary of the conditions listed above is having a good and growing relationship with Jesus. Having a good and growing relationship with Jesus. For everyone here this morning that will meet the conditions set by God, supernatural help awaits you. I say supernatural help awaits you. That was a door. Though is an expression that depicts the terrible state of what is on ground right now. Though things have not been working well. Though things have grown worse. Though things are already scattered. Oh, though this situation is so terrible. Pastor, you don't even know what you're talking about. It has happened many, 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 many years ago. For how many years was it that the gates and the walls were burnt down before it was rebuilt? Huh? How many? I didn't hear you. 400. 150. How many days was it for it to be rebuilt? 52 days. Though things have grown worse and scattered, there is still hope for you. I said there is still hope for you. Though your present situation and location look irredeemable, God has the final word. The same God that allowed them to be scattered is the same God that can bring them back. And so He said, I will gather them from there. And I prophesy into somebody's life this morning. As you open your heart to God, God will gather you from wherever you are right now. He will gather the remnant of your life. He will fix your life. Because He's the problem solver. He's the challenges fixer. And someone said, he's a need meter. He will gather you from there. Say, I will bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the main reason why God has promised us supernatural help this year is to bring us back to His presence. God's redeeming grace is still available in the house today. The question before us now is, are we ready to receive supernatural help based on God's terms and conditions? Who is ready for supernatural help here? The text of the song written by Kelly Carpenter should be our song if it is really our earnest desire to draw closer to Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road, in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.